Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's that time of the morning where we discuss about issues of global affairs, issues of continental, regional, and local affairs. We look at issues of economy, governance, and everything that is related to go done somewhere else where there are records. But I cannot reference a case of a traditional authority to say, in a similar case, for example, what happened in the palace of Ombalano or the palace of Ukwanyama, and during the time of Mandume and Demfa, there were certain cases which were solved this way. Why can't you reference that to defend your case in a court of law? But when you look at people who taught us democracy, and when you look at people who taught us law, and the interpretation of the law, you must be able also to realize that when you look at, for example, Britain, the UK does not have one constitution. Does not have one constitution. They rely on conventions, treaties, and their interpretation differ. And the way they look at the law is that law is also evolving. And they are also dominance of our customary or their customary laws within that aspect. That's why to them it's easier because they know what they are doing. But with us, it's quite a very different thing. That's why when we look at contribution of African jurisprudence to Dutch law, we are challenging those who, especially those who are with deeper knowledge in the system of legal fraternity, to look at to say why. We have advocates, we have senior counsels, we have accomplished legal practitioners, we have, judges who are even writing books and were reference judgments, but the society is not getting in order. And people do not ask this question to say, what is the contribution of a magistrate to national development, apart from interpreting the law? And what is the contribution of a judge to stabilizing or to effectiveness of a legal system? Because one thing that you need to know is that the law is not only made in parliament. Judge also have power to make laws. Because a judge, in the absence of a reference in a case, in the situation of judgment of a new, unique case, there is what is called application of mind, where a jurist officer has a power to apply his mind, and that which is done at that level become a law. But the question is that, are we only operating a system of punishment, or we are operating a system of saving the people? Because we must make a difference to say, what is the existence of the law? Because most people think that the law is to put bad guys in jail and keep the society in order. Looking at those who have been in, or those who gave us the law, they are using the law to make sure that you improve the quality of lives of the people under the jurisdiction that that law is being operated. But if you're asking a person to say, how was it before modern law, how can you compare modern laws with previous or with traditional laws, and which one has more value? You may be able to come to the conclusion that it's not a matter of who is better than who. It's a matter of where these two meet and complement each other. Because we are not saying we must throw away the constitution, and we must just deal with our customs and our customary laws and common laws. We are not saying that. What we are saying is that let us try to find a balance where we respect all of them equally, and we see which one is working best for us. Because with our own sovereignty, we can be able to achieve that. Because if we are still continue to do things the way we have been doing, there is no way that we are going to achieve the greatest good of men, no, the greatest good of human beings, actually. Because the existence of the state is to promote the greatest good of human beings within that state. And you can only do that if you are economically competitive, you are safe, you are secured, and you are happy. And that's why we are saying, if you are not happy, something is not right. And happiness is not only happiness of smiling, it's also happiness of life satisfaction. In that, jurisdiction, or in that area. And the other thing that, we look at is the issue of properties. It's the issue of properties. And it's also the issues of, what have been done? How did apartheid laws made us to be where we are? We touch on the issue of properties to say, when it comes to African thinkers, African legal researchers, African jurists, what did they do to pursue? What did they do to expand the knowledge of Africans? Because in that context. When you speak about the knowledge of Africans, to say what percentage of African knowledge is put in those legal interpretation. Because remember, we also gave a reference to, there's a book written by Moses Kakane, one of South African accomplished advocate, who is a senior lawyer. There is no legal ground he will not enter, whether it's an international court. He's one of, he's an elite lawyer. And at that level, when you're an elite lawyer, when somebody comes to you and you have to draft a document, let me say a document of 10 pages, the least that person can ask is 40,000 rand. But it's when he's regarded as a pro bono. These are elite lawyers who, somebody who accomplished and finished the ranks of law within his area. But he came to the point of writing a book and say, man, I understand that I did very well and we started helping people and all these things. But I realized that the system that we are using, there is quite a lot of things that we are not working on. There's quite a lot of things that are contradicting ourselves and inhibiting, limiting South African economy and African economy in general to be equally benefiting all those who are in that state. Then he realized that he has to speak up and wrote something. And it's up to now lawmakers to understand that playing according to the rules is not a problem, but knowing what you want is more important. Because have you ever asked your questions to say, why there is no link, there is a bit of a gap between what we say and what we get? Not only in terms of politics and lawmaking, but why are we not able to ask that question? Why there is no link between what we say we want to do and what we do? We don't do what we say. Why there is that? At the center of that, there is a law. That's why, when you look at where we have been for the past 35 years and where we are now, you can be able to see some development. You can also be able to see that some of these things we could have done them. But now, where are we moving from here? The question is that, where are we moving from here? With what we have discussed on that ground, is also an aspect of self-respect. Aspect of self-respect. To say it's only right if somebody from outside come and comment it. But if I put comments on that text and say, no, this text must be adjusted here because I've been in this field for quite some time, this text must be adjusted. Yes, you can understand me. But if somebody come from Poland, if somebody come from Australia and say, guys, for argument's sake, the NDP-6 that we are using is not correct. Let us draft another one because I see a lot of loopholes. The possibility of there is a high chance that you may be able to want to believe this person, even if this person was not even here when you were dealing with your own problems, putting things together. But if just somebody say, from Namibia and say, no, let us adjust here and let us put this one so that we can meet this target, you are most likely to reject this person. And it's also something that we discussed to say is a matter of inferiority complex. It's also a matter of self-doubt. Because if we look at tradition as old, and we look at modern as advanced, we are already making a mistake because the example that we gave when it's coming to traditional laws is that they also went through transformation and development. They also have reviews of laws because there's actually nothing that they did not have. Because when it comes to review of laws, one of the examples that we give is that many years ago, in an African tradition, the Shwamba tradition, that oral history have taught us, and existing records also, is that when a lady fall pregnant without being initiated through orufuko or any other traditional format of that nature, in those years, if that lady is not married, he has to be burned down alive. That was the law, to discourage people to practice early, to be sexually active at an early age, and also to, and it's a quite a disrespect to the parents and to the family of that person, because women by then were seen as people of high quality, and when a lady is going to get married and is regarded as a virgin, or is a virgin at that context, the price of a bride was very high, and the respect and the honor that father is going to have was also on the standard. But these things have continued, and people have been burned. Somebody burned here, died, and that's why there is an existence of the different names that are also not present, actually. And we are just using them around, but you don't know where it started. And some of the word I can give you, for example, is when somebody say Oshikumbu, for example, is not an insult. If you are just looking at that, how did that word come about? If you know history, you'll be able to understand that it was certain practice that was done. But when that happened, people have to go through a legal review and say, no man, chief or king, this thing of burning ladies when they fall pregnant is not working. Let us review the law. Then we punish people differently. Then we reduce the price of a bride and we move forward. So let's look at the commercial break and move forward.
When life gifts you,
honey, the washing machine broke again.
Take control with Express Credit. Get fast, reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application, same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
Stop everything. These bargains that you save are too good to pass by. 2 1.5-kilo bags of Real Good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 150 Namibian dollars. 500 grams of Right Brand pasta, just 8.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams of Romy 40% fat spread, just 12.99 Namibian dollars. 1 kilogram U Brand frozen mixed vegetables, just 36.99 Namibian dollars. 1 kilogram Topscore instant maize porridge, just 24.99 Namibian dollars. You save, I save. Yes, we all save at You Save.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, moving forward, apart from looking at African jurisprudence, our African laws in relation to the current laws that we have and what we can contribute, the other thing that we look at is credit rating system, it's credit rating agencies. How do they look at Africa? How do credit rating agencies look at Africa? What are some of the challenges of credit rating agencies? And also, how is it important that Africa look at what needs to be done, especially when it comes to the ability of these countries to service their debts, and also the ability of these countries to participate in an international economic affairs? Because there is always somebody out there who has to say, no, David, you have a lot of debts, and you only qualified for this amount of money, or you need to restructure economy this way, or investors are not able to come to you. But how do you know that David has a lot of debts? It's because you are using data, that of which not even data that provided by me, but data that you have assumed. That's why when it's coming to credit rating agencies, especially looking at the context of Africa, it was something that we have discussed. Especially regarding to the report on Africa credit rating agencies, and we got into the conversation with Menovari Hangara to look at that context, and one of the things which stood out is the aspect of financial system, and also the aspect of data, because looking at Africa Sovereign Credit Rating Review of 2025, African countries, they came together and also asked difficult questions also to see, these credit rating agencies, these companies, international recognized companies, which most of them are not even living in are not even having permanent offices in Africa. They only come here for 1 week or 2 weeks, then they produce a report about Africa, our debts. What are some of the challenges of this? Companies, and what do they have on us? And what are the things that we need to do to make sure that we improve, especially with credits, financial reforms? And also, how can African countries position themselves when it comes to engaging the world, either in terms of trade or attraction of investment, either is domestic or international investment. One of the things, or in that regard, the credit rating agencies which were looked at is Moody Investor Service, Fitch Rating, and S&P Global Rating. Now, what have we discussed about, and what are the things that we have pointed out, especially in those discussions? And maybe just not to complicate things, the simple definition of a credit rating agency is just an evaluator to see if you are qualified to get funds, at what level, or it's just an evaluator also to see that you are bankable, you are good for investment, or you are at risk for investment. And for that evaluator, the African countries realize to say, these guys, they do not have real data. Or they are using data, but in most cases, they are also not using our own data that we produce internally. They rely on their own projection. And also, they look at the aspect of influence also, because these agencies can also be influenced. Because, as we are always indicating to you that read the village and newspaper or have access to data or information, is that if you do not have access to those information that you do not know correctly, can be used against you to manipulate you, to take from you, or to advise you to make a wrong choice. That's why if you are very good with information analysis, if you are very good with data, it's going to be easier for you to make a decision. But these African countries came and review these credit rating agencies. And one of the things that they pointed out is that in terms of in terms of CRAS, credit rating agencies, they need to reform. They need to reform, and they must make sure that they invest in physical presence in Africa. They invest in physical presence in Africa. And they should also use in-continent analysis through physical presence. You know, looking at this report of investing in in-continent analysis, that there is no way, and it's actually not correct, whether it's any international institution or financial institution for that matter, or institution which is dealing with data, that is just coming into Namibia, or you just have a temporary office, you come to Namibia, then you bypass NSA statistics, then you come up with your own conclusion that Namibia is at this level of economy, or Namibia needs this kind of investment, without using those who are in Namibia. Because remember, what is very interesting about international institutions is that those who are working at international institutions are not countries, are not just people from one country. Let me say, for example, IMF and World Bank. Let me say World Trade Organization. The leader of WTO is Meme Ngozi Ioela, is from Nigeria. And there is diversity on that ground. But what I'm trying to indicate to you is that it's not correct to come up with a conclusion without consulting the persons in that house. Because numbers can mean different things. Methods are different. But how many of, ask yourself this question, especially some of you who are listening, you are very educated, you have worked around the world, but how many of you collaborated on internal project done by an international organization to see, really to say, when they are going to this village and do this research, is really what they are saying? Or they are just going to say that for the sake of opening up business opportunities for others? But that is what was stated in the report, especially when it's coming to the review of credit rating agencies. And yeah, another challenge which that challenge which was stated is lack of depth, transparency eroding trust in African fiscal data. To say there's lack of trust in African data by international rating agencies. And fiscal space reduction due to defaults on African multilateral development banks, while commercial creditors insist on equal burden sharing during debt restructuring. There is default treaty based African multilateral institution. And the other thing that you need also to look at when you are looking at this report is that one of the things that you need to know, and it's a fact of that. And it's part of the agenda actually by G20. The effect of the matter is that when African countries are borrowing from international institutions, they are not paying the same rate. Imagine we are all countries in the world, and at the level of the defining of a state, everybody is equal. Either is Gabon and United States, same level, same treatment. That was supposed to be the case at an international level. And as the head of state, they must meet at that level. But when it comes to, for example, you want a loan from IMF and World Bank, the percentage that Gabon is going to get when it's paying back is more higher than the US is going to get. But why is that? Why is that? And also, you also need to look at why African countries come up with a review of credit rating agencies. When you have wrong information, you can have wrong and devastating results, because just ask yourself this question: why debt ratio in GDP per the debt per GDP ratio of smaller countries are continuing to increasing, although they are getting assistance. Who is coming up with that dependency link? Who is making those countries to depend? And it's a question I've been asking to say, with now that people realize that internal analysts are also necessary, or African knowledge, or self-respect and understanding that you can also do your internal investigation and research and develop your country is also important. It's something that we need to ask ourselves. Ask yourself this question. Why since 1960s? Since 1960s, actually. Or 1958, 59, there we can debate on data and also on periods. Since 1960s, when most of the African countries started gaining their independence, immediately after independence, we have developmental partners. And in these developmental partners, they've been advising, they have been collaborating in projects. But the situation of an African child, or the situation of Africa actually in general, is not where those who started collaborating with this partner thought it would be. Everybody has been here. Every institution that you are looking at, they've been here. Some of them, they've been here for more than 30 years. But the question is that, why? Is this with good intention? Is it to create thus employment for these people? Or is this really the aim of developing our countries? Because if you are not asking yourself this question, and also ask to say, what are some of the challenges of developmental partners and also international institutions in acquiring or in giving that developing country an opportunity to get where it wants to get? Because the moment you come to that conclusion, then you are okay. The moment you come to that conclusion, then you get a real meaning of development. And also compared to say, why? Because when these countries are getting loans for IMF and World Bank and many other institutions, they also have technical, they have review committees and guiding, experts within those countries to say, okay, you're using this money, this is your reform, this is what you are going to invest in it. But why there is less to no results on that? I'm not saying developmental partners did not do anything in Namibia or in Africa. They did. But can we also study them and evaluate to say, why the progress is so slow? Why are we always at the back? It is like we are also failing to catch up. So that was some of the things that were stated. And the recommendation of that report. Before that, let us look at the ECN. Election is around the corner. And from there, we are going to engage on the communication, particularly the listeners.
Democracy thrives through participation, and we all want a thriving democracy, don't we? Let's all contribute to a thriving democracy by being active participants and voting in the upcoming regional council and local authority elections on 26 November 2025. Let's play our part. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
Yeah, we are moving forward. It's 30 minutes past the hour of 7. We still have enough time to continue with Early Morning Scoop. You can still communicate with us at 083-288-401. Those of you are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today, as it has always been the case, we look at the global affairs, we look at continental affairs, we look at regional and the national development, we analyze issues, especially looking at issues that are affecting our bread and butter, because without bread and butter, it's not literally bread and butter that you see, but bread and butter issues of basic needs, because you can't live without bread. In what sense? You can't live without food. That is a basic need of a human being. And the issues of bread and butter must be issues of analysis. And at the center of that, what we should continue looking at is the law. Because for you to govern a country correctly, there must be laws. And there must be productive laws and forward-looking laws. And if we are not working on that, it will not work out. Because other countries, they put laws for us. And we have to apply according to that. That's why issues of policies, planning, implementation, evaluation are at the center of every conversation. And it's also something that I'm very happy about, because in those years, when you look at the direction of Africa, we were more on speaking. We are more on speaking about solving issues, but we are not pointing in ourselves. But I want to assure you, and I want to tell you one thing. When you look at either it's AU, either it's SADC, either it's ECOWAS, either it's IAC, either it's UMA, either it's COMESA or SACU, one of the things that they admit, and it's quite good, is to work out on the issues of governance, to work out on the issues of policy cohesion, and also the issues of data. That is one thing that we have failed so much to recognize, but I like the fact that we are moving in that direction, because you know why? When we understand that it's through data that is the game is going to change, it's through research that the game is going to change, we will be able to accelerate that, African Agenda 2063. And if we come to the good conclusion to say, it's through R&D investment that we are going to move with others, because research is not something that can take long. It's about technical skills to point out the challenges and to accelerate. You can also research about why the research is not progressing. And you can, when you get those information, then it is to make a decision. You can also research about why in Namibia there is no link between plan and implementation. Why there is always an issue with, is it bureaucracy? When you get to that conclusion, it's easy. And it's my hope that in the next plan, apart from NDP 6, we should continue to see improvement in research and development, because people think, and I like the administration that prioritizes that. But we want to see it more coming out, because that is where the opening is. Because R&D is where the opening is. Go to academia. Go to industries. And when you have data, then you can do anything, because everything is on data. When you have data, you can do anything. When you have that clear information, because data will tell you where the problem is. Now, while we are there, it's also quite crucial to give a comparison to say, when you speak about R&D, for example, or research and development, take time and look at the Meta, for example. Look at Facebook, look at Instagram, as a company, not as a page. look at Volkswagen, look at Fortune 500 companies. And where do they put their money into? Why do these companies spend more money, so much money, in the research and development? Look at Toyota. For those who love cars, you are always very happy when there is a new version of Toyota. Because why? They are improving on comfort, speed, color, balance, and also on the look. But how do they come up with that? Because they do research. They do research, because in every car that you have seen, any new model that you see, there are always new features. Why do you think people just come up with new features to say, let us adjust? They are looking at the research and look at what is that is needed in the market and what is that people love so much. So yeah, the other thing that we look at, especially throughout the week, is the issue of G20. It's the issue of G20. To say, when it's coming to G20, what is in for us? what is in for us, and also what is G20, what is on the G20 agenda, what is on the G20 agenda, and what can we learn from that. And one of the things that we are talking about is that in African tradition, when there is a wedding in the neighbor, you don't need an invitation. You're actually the one who go there and start helping already, because you know you are going to eat well. When there was World Cup in 2010 in South Africa, hotels in Namibia were getting more clients, and people were very happy on that, because you know why? There was a wedding in the neighbor's house. But with G20, global economic power players are coming, and it's almost a mini or other form of UNGA, because there's nobody who is not represented. There's nobody who's not represented, because if you have US, you have China, you have Brazil, you have Russia, you have India, then you have the whole African Union, then EU, then who is not represented there? That's it. Tell me who is not represented. Because if you are saying Southern Africa, Southern America is not represented, then what is Brazil? If Brazil did not show up and China show up, is that not BRICS? And who is going to benefit from that? Now, we were looking at what is on the agenda. Although South Africa has a very difficult task of hosting this international event, which is actually not the first time South Africa hosting this global event, I mean the event of this nature. Because Africa hosted World Cup, BRICS, many other events. They are very good at hosting those events. One of the things that was on the table, or is still on the table, is disaster risk resilience, strengthening disaster risk resilience. And we are also comparing to say, in terms of Namibia, disaster risk resilience, how are our game plan in terms of responding to disaster risk management? How good are we? How good, what is the strength of OPM in responding to disasters in Namibia? Yeah, that is drought. And what is the sustainability of responding to that, to those disasters? Because are we only reactionaries in a term of reacting? Or are we also coming up with sustainable measures to prevent risk? Because in disaster risk management, it's not only about responding to risk, it's also about preventing risk to happen. It's not about, preventing risk, to happen. And the other thing that was that is on the table is energy transition. It's energy transition. And use of mobilizing funds for energy. Namibia, we are also going to learn what other countries are saying, especially in the world which is divided by opinions. Are we going green? Are we going dark? Or where are we going? And also, what is the sustainability of green energy? Are we just talking for the sake of speaking, or we know exactly what we want? Because sometimes we need to come to the conclusion of saying, we may be very cautious and diplomatic about issues, but the results are always very important, because results matters at the end of the day. Results matters to say, is what we are saying going to come out productively and assisting people that are on the ground? And if that is, and it's a good thing. But if that is not, we need to see what will happen. In terms of energy, how are we? And also, in terms of Namibia, what is the future of our energy? And yeah, what is our position? What is our position in terms of, energy transition? The other thing that is on the agenda of G20, is debt sustainability, food security, and also many other issues of social development. So let us look at the short commercial break, then we can continue. It's 41 minutes past 7.
Great news! Import just got even better. we have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipura nengeno wapungwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoewe ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge fata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are continuing. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and we are looking at issues of economic development, and issues of governance. And yeah, just there's one news which is coming out, especially that one which is based on sport. And the other thing, especially when it's coming to sport in Namibia, it's quite very interesting to look at. But we are going to World Cup, but not now, not this time, but the next time, because Namibia Bravarios lost, 3-1 defeat to Liberia. And it's very difficult. So I'm saying we are going to World Cup, but not this time. But there's a hope, according to the sport analyst. There's a hope. There's a hope that Namibia now only need to beat Tunisia 7-0. And hope that the four countries above them lose their final groups game to qualify for playoffs, which is quite going to be a miracle. But there's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible. But the fact of the matter, is in terms of where we are going to World Cup, but not now. We are defeated. But with 3-1, sometimes you don't need to give up on your country, no matter the situation. Though we are called the land of the brave, we are not just called the land of the brave for nothing. I think it's also quite a very important thing to look at when Namibia is continue to lose these games, and in the history of football, we never qualified to go to World Cup. Maybe it's also time for reflection, especially to our leaders, to see how come you have the best player in Africa, the best player who is dominating best players actually who are dominating South African football. But when it comes to qualifying to go to World Cup, when it's coming to go to semi-final, for example, of AFCON, it looks impossible. Maybe it's also the right time also to ask questions, to say, maybe is it not right to look at our infrastructure or the support that we give to our players? is it not right to prioritize and also give support to football and also professionalizing of sport codes? Because we'll continue to lose, not really because we are not able, not really because we are not able. When you look at, for example, at our boxers, the way they perform in Africa, but when they go outside the world, sometimes it's just a matter of proper training. It's a matter of upgrading the game. But we need to listen to Bravery's coach, that is Corin Benjamin. And he has been it's a product of Bravery's actually. And he has been one of the few Namibians also who played internationally. Because I understand he was at, I think, Hambeng in Germany there. And but let us look at what he has to say after this, defeat, especially when it comes to Namibia, the Brave Warriors. Let us look at, listen to this, what he has to say.
Firstly, I congratulate Liberia for the 3 points. Good game from them. This as early as the second minute, I think, we were not too aggressive in the one against one on the wing. He comes in and he commits one of our midfielders. He gets a penalty in the second minute. So obviously, the whole game plan then fell apart. 7 minutes later, we couldn't really get a grip on the loose ball on the right. They play a ball through. Our goalkeeper commits. Unfortunate that he couldn't get the ball, and it's 2-0. But I think after that, our team, we had most of the ball, created a few chances. Unlucky that we couldn't score. And then obviously trying to get that second goal, we have to open up, and that's where Liberia then scored their third goal. I think it was a good goal. Unfortunate that our youngsters were involved in all of those actions, and at the national soccer you get punished, and that's what happened. But I still think it was a good display of character for my team. They kept playing. And in the end, we lost 3-1 against a Liberia team that was very aggressive. They took their chances, and congratulations to them.
So we now start to take questions. Yeah, Mato.
Yeah, coach.
Yeah.
I was so proud of the man. We suffered from the way we desired a game against Liberia, correct? And change the control of our attitude, change the way we are giving us.
My brothers, just open up, because Liberian English is okay. it's a bit difficult to understand. Yeah.
The Sanders missed our chance to play in the playoffs, qualifiers.
Yeah.
Tell us that specifically in the overdrawn and not in adverse to start the game on today versus Liberia.
Yeah, I just explained what went. Of course, also the chances that we missed. It is unfortunate that is also the sad reality of international soccer. But I have to be honest that I think I'm still proud of my team for the way they they carried themselves in these qualifiers. We're sitting on 15 points in a transition period. For these young players, and I still think they will get beaten in Africa like this today, but they will definitely grow to become stronger. And I,
yeah, that is what's happening. I told you we are going to World Cup, but not now. Maybe in the future, but we don't need to lose hope. We don't need to lose hope. We don't need to lose hope. And the fact being brave does not mean that you are not getting defeated. And we just need to make sure that those who have potential, especially in football, they are supported in Namibia. Because we can say what we can say about Namibia losing, which is quite a very painful thing. Because you're also wondering that even when you are saying we want to qualify to World Cup, what is our aim? Just to go there and sit. Have we ever said Namibia on the journey to World Cup to achieve something? Have you ever even dreamed about the cup itself, or we just want to enter into get that record? Because there is actually nothing that can limit Namibia to be globally competitive, especially in terms of sport, because it's just talent playing itself out there. If Peter Sharude can be the best player who is breaking records in South Africa, even breaking records of Siyabongani Mvete and any other players in South Africa Premier League, which made him a global competitive player, can play anywhere in the world. What is that we can do to make sure that we do not only have Dion Hotto and Peter Sharurele, we have more than competitive people? And maybe it's also a time to have that assessment, especially as a country, to say, where are we standing in terms of talent recognition? Because it's actually not a good thing. And when our leaders are out there, others are speaking about their country's performance in World Cup. What are our leaders going to watch when they are on international trips or so on? Maybe it's time now to look at either infrastructure, capacity, and also developing talents from younger age. Because when you look at English Premier League, for example, those who are best players now are the young people. You can see somebody who is just 18 years old being bought with 50 million euros, not dollars, not rents, euros. And these are the people who are active. But what is happening to our 18-year-old professional wannabes, or who could be professional footballers? They are in the street smoking humbly. Is that what they want? No, there is no clear infrastructure and support. Talents are there. We have seen people, they are good at playing at the village, but because this person does not get support, you find him on top of the building to look for bread and butter. But with Namibia, I think it's now the time to discuss these issues, because if you are getting beaten by Liberia and any other country, you can't just continue to be a punching bag. And it's actually something that everybody, every parent who has a kid who has potential, to see into that kid, and also to see how these people can be assisted. But yeah, the last time we were very happy, especially in the history of football, was 2015. That time that we won the COSAFA Cup during Manetti, and every street was lightened up. And we are very happy, actually. In Namibia, we are very happy people, especially when it's come to support those who are ours. But if it has been a very long time without getting something, I think it is destroying us, because that was one of the trophies, or just said it was a trophy which brought unity to Namibians. I remember that time during I think it was COVID time, when Christine Ebomma break records, overtaking her competitors from US is Jamaica, and brought a silver medal. Everybody was very happy, and that is bringing unity. But now in Namibia, you just have a lot of questions to ask yourself, to say, what is that really that we need to do, especially professionalizing sport codes. And I've seen Namibia Sport Commission is doing some work, but what is that we can do, especially not only to say prioritizing, but doing what we can do to say sport day, people must be fit, people must compete, people must be supported, and let us pick the best players to represent us. Because you're asking yourself, what is that Liberia doing that we cannot do? And you also do not want to speak bad about other people, to say some of countries, they have suffered so much than us, either through economy, through war, and many other things. But in terms of the results are not resulting. But let's hope. I'm telling you, we are going to World Cup, but not this time. Maybe next time, if we improve, there is nothing that can stop us. Yeah, it's 57 minutes past the hour of 7. And we are progressing understandably with Early Morning Scoop. However, with these few minutes, you can still engage us. You can call us at 083-288-401, so that you can air your view, you can exercise your democratic rights and freedom of expression, especially when it comes to issues of economy, issues of governance, and issues of development. And yeah, with these few words, I wish you a very good Friday. And make sure that before any other things, read the Villager newspaper. The Villager newspaper is out. It's out. And with its wealth of content, it's not something that you can miss. It's not something that you can miss, because you look at what is in the Villager newspaper today, you can be able also to see, when you look at what is in the Villager newspaper today, can be able also to say that Namibia is aiming to take into space, to tap into space science. Yeah, also looking at that aspect, astronomy. And when you look into inside the Villager newspaper for Friday today, can also be able to get content on an application extension for University of Namibia, application extension from University of Namibia, especially undergraduate courses for 2026. And is that time where you have to pick the career? It's that time where you have to pick the career. Look at the University of Namibia, and there is application fees there of 150 for applicants, especially Namibians students, and you have international student of 300 of all types, especially international students. The account is there, and it's indicated that now the application is open for both, for both local and also international students, especially undergraduate students. And all the applications are now strictly online, and there is a guide. There's a link for the guide there before you apply. Somebody should not just tell you that you must do engineering, but you need to go there to say, if I have to do engineering, what kind of engineering? Is electrical, is civil, is mechanic, is chemical, and many others. So look at that. There's also the links are there before you apply. Then there's an article on charcoal production. Then we also have this advertisement from there's a sale there from Woman Block, especially when it's coming to food. Sale there, and there's also an aspect of horticulture and agriculture graduates. Then if you want to look at the meeting, the bilateral relation between Namibia and Botswana, especially our president to bread and butter. We are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. That is Eagle FM. The fact that you are awake, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop, that is already a blessing. That is already a good thing. And just continue pushing. Continue looking at those targets that you set for yourself. And we have seen we are putting bigger targets ahead of ourselves. But it has been indicated that there is no target which is bigger. But it's how you move toward that target. That's why we are always advising you every morning to say, don't let anybody to disturb you, or do not let anybody to distracting you, especially when it comes to look at things that you want to achieve in life, because people have different intention. Some they they are discouraging you because they also fail to get where you want to get. But what is very important is that when you have a plan, when you have a game plan, make sure that you are following that plan accordingly, and also make sure that you are resilient toward what you want. So this is the time. This is the time that we discuss global affairs. And indeed, we understand some of you, you are on your way home. Some of you, you are on your way to work. Some of you, you are still do not know what you want to do. Still do not know what you want to do. But the fact that you are awake, you must be able to understand that before you do anything, you must appreciate what you have. You must appreciate what is, you know, what you have before you to move forward. Before you also complain, because always telling people to say, when you wake up and you are telling yourself that you are the richest person on earth, you are the most strongest and healthy person. And in terms of law of attraction, in terms of what you, your mind you put into, eventually those things will turn up, although not now, but it will not only turn up because of words, but because you are working toward that, of that, you know, you want to achieve. Yeah, it's the 10th of October, 2025. And as we are indicating, there is no more than 1 month before we call it, before we call it 2025, before we call it the past. And so it's crucial to make sure that when it comes to the economy, when it comes to issues of governance, you are at least progressing, because statistics are not stopping. Statistics are not, you know, stopping. And looking at issues of energy, issues of employment, issues of service, issues of housing, issues of financial institutions, issues of financial inclusivity. Those are still issues that we are struggling to deal with. Those are still issues that we are struggling to deal with. And we must also ask ourselves to say, in the context where we are, in the context where we are, why we are busy dealing with the basic needs, when are we going to go to real issues? Why we are struggling dealing with the basic needs such as water and electricity, such as basic medical attention? When are we going to deal with real issues? And is the world going to wait for us as Namibia to make sure that at least let us wait for Namibia to develop so that we can progress? Is the world going to wait for us, or is going to add another pile of work while we are busy sorting out ourselves? Because that, if that of which we are indicating that should be the reason that we should not rest before we deal with our basic issues, before we follow up and catch up with the world, because every day, things are changing. Every day there is advancement, there is changes in terms of, you know, global affairs, and there are changes in terms of the way human beings are living. And the world being interconnected, or the world being a global village, that does not make us, you know, exception, especially when it comes to impact on the way our people are living, and what we want to achieve, particularly as a country, and also coming to an individual level. Yeah, I was looking at the latest statistics on 2025, especially when it's coming to the most drunkest country on earth. Now, when you're looking at that map using that keys, you must be able to realize that maybe it's part of that. Maybe it's part of that. And when you look at human alcoholic consumption per thousand, you'll be able to realize that when it comes to SADC, when it comes to Africa, we are one of the leaders there. Because when you look at statistics report on alcoholic consumption in the world, there's the latest one on 2025. But these are not good news. These are not good news, and though alcohol is part of human beings, at what level are we consuming? And also, what are some of the causes of consumption of that? Because when you look at it, be able to, read it yourself. You look at the key sectors there. You look at the key areas. You can be able to see that when it's coming to Africa, when it's coming to SADC, Namibia is one of the top countries there. And in terms of consumption of alcohol liters per thousand, you'll be able to see that we are not below 2,000. But that is something that need to be, you know, discussed with, and to say, why do people in a struggling economy, have an opportunity to drink, have an opportunity to consume alcohol? And who is paying for those alcohol? And also, why is it so difficult for me to sort out my basic issues, but I have to reserve some money to drink and all those things? Because in this economy, no matter, there is a saying to say, no matter the needs of a drunkard, he always makes sure that he sort himself out, and he always makes sure that, you know, there is something to drink. Even that of person who will see that does not have any money. But something that we need to ask ourselves to say, is it a social issue? Is it a social issue? Because alcohol consumption is not a problem. The problem is abuse, and also the problem is also prioritizing it over clear, critical, important things. Because when you look at that, when you are the lower income country, your population is small, unemployment is high, and you lack basic needs, then you have highest economic inequality, but you are trading for not too good reason. There must be something that really need to be looked at. There must be something that really need to be looked at, because consumption responsibly, while you are also progressing on other things, that would be a very different thing. But just consumption raw, without any food, without any possibility of the future. That is why we find ourselves in a very critical situation, where you look at crimes, you look at issues of domestic abuse, both ways, whether it's men and women. But looking at this statistic, it's not the first time. It's not the first time Namibia appear into that list. Also remember, at one point we were following Botswana. And when it's coming to the leaders in terms of alcoholic consumption, we were following Botswana at one point. But that is a conversation that need to be expanded, and also need to look at what are the real causes of this, and also what other things that need to be done to make sure that not only that we remove ourselves from that list, but also to make sure that even if you are leading at that list, at least there are some positive lists that we need to list to lead on, either in terms of development, in terms of human development, in terms of expanding and strengthening of financial, financial system, and many other things. Why can't we lead in terms of technology, but we are leading in alcoholic consumption, and also in terms of poverty? What are the statistics saying about achievement of United Nations Sustainable Development Goals in terms of Sustainable Development Goals in comparison to the statistics which are coming out and are not in our favor, and the leading for not too good reason? It's like you have a record of being the last in class, like you have a record of failing, the toppest failure, but that is not the record, although there are also ranks within the failures and being number one or being the best of the last. That will not take us anywhere. Yeah, let us look at what is happening. What is happening in terms of trade? What is happening in terms of trade, especially when it comes to Africa? Especially when it comes to Africa, and there are indications to say, Ivory Coast trades 40% of cocoa, but EU anti-deforestation law delayed. Because remember, when it comes to cocoa production, it's coming to cocoa production, Ivory Coast is number one. Ivory Coast is a world leading cocoa producer, and the main destination of their trade is European Union. However, European Union came up with a law to make sure that whatever you are trading to us, make sure that it's not in line with deforestation. It's not aligned with deforestation, And this law is inhibiting proper and clear business, it's inhibiting execution of trade, because before you sell something to EU, you need to make sure that it has to go through analysis. It also has to go through, where did you produce? Was there any deforestation taking place? Was there any destruction of nature? But it's also something that when you are looking at it, is to say, although Africans are doing their best, when it's coming to international market, they still have to go through those, evaluation. But the question that you are asking yourself is that when it comes to bodies which are dealing with trade or products, when it comes to Africa trading with the world, do we really have tight policies, particularly limiting those which are coming to Africa, or it just become a dumping site? Because when you look at some products, you may end up questioning yourself to say, really, how did this pass through, our system? How on earth somebody allow this person to just come and sell us, basic plastic things that will not even last for 1 week? And the same person who is selling us this is also the same person who is also speaking about environmental friendliness and also environmental sustainability. But when you are looking at things that we are buying, when you are looking at the products that we are buying, look at all the markets, look at all the, shops and stores, especially from most of which is the case actually, that majority of the things that we are consuming, we are not producing them. But are they really of high quality? Did they really have a standard check that these are the things that we want in the country? Because when you look at, go to Namibia, any dumping site that you see, look at the wasted products there, particularly plastic. Look at the wasted products there. Look at the value of those products, how much they cost. They may be cheaper, but why do we become a dumping site where other countries, they are scrutinizing us, where other countries, they are making also sure that when it's coming to environmental sustainability. And in fact, that is a double standard, actually. When you look at Africa, do you know that what we call issues of environmental sustainability and issues of climate, Africa contribute less than 10%, not even 10%, to these greenhouse gases. Because industrialization did not start in Africa. And when those who are industrializing, when those who started destroying nature, it's not Africans. Because remember, our ecosystem, although they are partially, destroyed, they are still intact. But when you look at other countries, apart from the standing Amazon, when you look at other countries, most of these countries have artificial trees and artificial or lab-made trees and glasses. But when it comes to Africa, we need to obey in everything which is being done. And when it comes to laws which are allowing those who to come, we respect much. I think it's part of African tradition. A guest is given much respect, even than the owner of the house. But it was supposed to be a mutual trade relations, because now when you look at what have been happening, particularly in Ivory Coast when it's coming to trade of cocoa, not 2 months ago, when you look at Ivory Coast was also reviewing its policies to say, we are the major global producer, but when it comes to profit that we are making, is not even, or when it's coming to the whole chunk of cocoa production in the world, we are not getting the fair deal. We are not getting the fair deal. That's why when it comes to African trade, the issue of value addition was on that table. But the fact that EU put that policy to say, you are selling with us, but make sure that first you trace where you produce that, and make sure that it's not deforestation. Something that need to be looked at, something that need to be looked at, because somebody want to sell to trade with you, then you are putting strict laws, and if this person does not meet this standard, how is the trade of that person going to be affected by you're dictating, because a buyer was not really supposed to have that much of power, although you have a right to see where the product is made. But what is this saying about African authority over trade? What is this saying about African authority over influence? But let us look at this news, then we move forward, especially that side of Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast, the world's leading cocoa producer, has successfully traced the origin of its 40% of its cocoa beans during the 2024-25 season, a milestone as it positions itself to comply with the European Union's anti-deforestation import rules. Under the proposed EU regulation, importers of commodities like cocoa must prove their supply chains are not linked to deforestation. The law was due to take effect on December 30, 2025, but has been postponed by 1 year after pushback from industry players and trade partners, citing high implementation costs. Even with the traceability gains, Ivory Coast falls short of full readiness. The country still ships the majority of its cocoa to the EU, and 40% traced is insufficient under the stringent requirement.
You are the largest cocoa producer in the world, and somebody dictate to you that you are still, short of complying with the requirements, and the question that you're asking yourself, who has the card at that point? Who has the power of negotiation on that ground? Because if you are the only person, or you have, power in terms of your, how come somebody come and dictate on what you need to do, and also indicating that you have failed, in terms of what you are trading with, and they also have power. That law also has power to make sure that they also stop trading with you, or also they also stop their trading partners to buy from you. Now, in terms of international trade law, what is now the power of a supplier in a global market? And also, when you look at the referee in international trade, which is a World Trade Organization, what is it saying about these laws? Is it laws which were backed by World Trade Organization members, or is it just a law which EU put out there to make sure that there is control over the sales of cocoa, especially when it comes to Ivory Coast? And moving forward, looking at there's no economy of Africa without looking at Democratic Republic of Congo. And in fact, you cannot talk about global minerals or mineral supplies in the world without talking about DRC. That is how the reality of of the fact is. That's how the reality of the fact is, especially when it's coming to the trade, especially when it comes to trade, and also when it's coming to the supply of minerals into the world. And you must remember that when it comes to World Bank, and also International Monetary Fund, and also World Trade Organization, especially for the past week, they've been refocusing their trade focus either in Africa or other part of the world, which means that the global economy is showing resilience, regardless of what is happening in terms of tariffs, and also regarding what is happening in terms of aspect of global tensions, either is Russia-Ukraine war, either is Iran-Israel, either is Israel and Palestine. But when you look at IMF, you look at World Bank, you must be able to realize that they are refocusing is showing a positive development. But you also need to ask to say, although what is happening is what is happening in terms of increment, in terms of forecasting, what is the impact of this to an ordinary person on the ground? Because when you look at especially the refocused, when you look at the latest outlook and refocused statistics when it's coming to the economy, especially with Sub-Saharan Africa, World Bank indicated that Sub-Saharan African economies are expected to grow by a faster 3.8% because of recent recent price inflation. And also it also states that Sub-Saharan Africa inflation rate declined with 4.5% in 2024, which should stabilize between 3.9 to 4 annually by 2026. Now, why are the upgrades? When there is an upgrade in terms of economic growth, you need to look at who are the key power players and who are the key economic players in that. Then in that we have key major regional economic players such as Ivory Coast, you have Ethiopia, you have Nigeria. You may be able also to see that when you speak about Nigeria, you speak about oil, because the records which business people in Nigeria have passed are quite significant records when it's coming to the economy of Africa, and also to those who are venturing in those aspects. Because although the Dangote refinery have been questioned, there have been protests here and there in terms of Dangote oil refinery, the fact of the matter, you become the first black man or the first African to trade beyond the borders, not only in terms of petrol, not only in terms of oil, but also products from oil. And when it comes to key players in economic advancement in Sub-Saharan Africa, Ethiopia, Nigeria, then you have Ivory Coast. Just like what you have stated already today in terms of Ivory Coast, you may be able also to realize that in terms of Ivory Coast, they are a key contributor into global cocoa producer. But the question that you're asking yourself, what would happen to these African countries if they add values to their products? What would happen to the world economy if African countries add value to their product without any restriction? And also, what will happen if African countries start reasoning at the same level as the world is reasoning? Because I'm here to see Africans coming up with a law to say what the EU is doing, we are not or we are not agreeing with it, or we are restricting operation of EU to do this. I still want to see that law which is prohibiting products from West, East, by in that way protecting either environment, or in that way also protecting the infant businesses in the country. Because remember, although, for example, to put it in general, although the economy of although the economic philosophy of the Western world is liberalism, opening up the economy, give more right to the private sector, and also allow fair competition, although that is what is happening, the practice is actually the opposite. The practice is actually not total liberalism, but it's aspect of protectionism. And that is what, if you go back like in 1980s there, you must be able, from 1975 to 1988 there, you must be able to realize that when it's coming to the things such as structural adjustment program, at the center of that structural adjustment program was the aspect of liberalizing the economy. Look at the economy of Zambia before structural adjustment program. Look at the impact of structural adjustment program to the economy of Zambia. At one point in the early 90s, Zambia was having debts of over $3 billion, and at that time it was a lot of money. And how did the economy of Zambia recover from there? Where would be Zambia without the structural adjustment program? But on that ground, you must also be able to see that when it comes to to the aspect of protectionism. Protectionism is actually not a bad thing because you are protecting your smaller businesses before they expand so they can compete with others. But now in Africa, just it's poiki. Don't know which economic philosophy a person is using. But other countries are very clear about that. But that is what is happening in terms of economic growth. And not only that, just last week, when we look at the IV report from International Monetary Fund, where it stated that Zimbabwe economy is growing at 6%, and also indicating that the price of minerals, especially gold, hooked 4,000 per ounce, and that is positive development. And the question maybe that you ask yourself is that what would happen if those countries who are selling minerals add values to their products? How much of employment is going to be created, and also how much of growth is going to be there, especially human growth. Now, it was indicated that in the Democratic Republic of Congo, there was an audit which was done, especially when it comes to mining firms. When it's coming to mining firms, and you must also, when I'm speaking about mining firms in Africa, know who owned them, know who they are, and also know who interests are they working on. Because if I have to speak to say, who owned the majority of mining firms in SADC region? Who owned the majority of mining firms in Botswana, in Namibia, and South Africa, in DRC, in Francophonese countries, in Burkina Faso, in Mali? Who owned them? But there's an audit which was done in Congo that stated that in terms of auditing, it was stated that the audit reveals that 17 billion revenue under reporting in Congo mining firms. What does this mean? When we talk about 17 billion revenue under reporting, it means that around 17 billion of money or of profit, of money that came into mining firms, were not reported. That is the meaning of the fact, were not reported. And these are business which are in Democratic Republic of Congo. And if that is an audit, what about that of which is not reported through records? So yeah, let us look at this news and see moving forward.
A major state audit in the Democratic Republic of Congo has revealed mining companies failed to report nearly $70 billion in revenue between 2018 and 2023. The June audit, made public this month, found this massive underreporting likely to deprive the state and local communities of vital funds. By law, firms must contribute 0.3% of revenue to local development, funding schools, clinics, and water systems. The report indicates this discrepancy resulted in over $50 million lost for community projects. Attorney General Jean-Chris Mubanga Musuyu stated that nearly 70% of companies did not comply, calling it a significant loss of revenue. Congo's mining communities continue to wait for the promised benefits of their resources.
Yeah, that is $17 billion, which failed to be reported, and that limit the government to collect tax, and also limit the service to the people of DRC. The question is that when is DRC going to see peace, and when are things going to be in order, and when is and where what will happen? What will happen, especially when it's coming to global peace? What will happen, especially when it's coming to global peace, especially especially putting in mind Democratic Republic of Congo and also other countries which are suffering because of their own natural resources and which are suffering because of their own natural resources and also their inability to deal with internal affairs because let us also not overblame people. Just like somebody was saying, in aspect of development, sometimes for us to move forward, we don't necessarily need to say everything that we are going through is because somebody imposed those things on us. But if we are becoming very clear and understand that we take a responsibility and say, man, in terms of issues, for example, of basic service delivery, yes, we can have complicated laws, but there are things that we did not do well. In terms of housing, there are things that we did not do well. There is a mixture of people who are responsible to distribute and service land also having businesses that are in housing. Because ask yourself this question, what would happen if somebody has can afford a basic house in Namibia? What would happen to those who own a flat? Which is quite a bit contradictory because a flat is somebody's business. But you also need to understand that there are things that an owner of the house can do that somebody who is at a flat cannot do. Imagine you have been renting that flat, for example, for 20 years. Then you die. Or maybe you are renting there with your family, with your wife. Then your wife just passed on. And that one you regard it as not even your temporary house. It's your house. But when you die, that flat, the owner will say, no, tomorrow somebody will come in. Can't mourn here because it's a place for business. And where is the dignity in terms of that? Because if you're asking the question to say, if we get things like housing correctly, if we get things like housing correctly without blaming the colonizer, that the colonizer took our land. Sometimes the colonizer is also listening and laughing at us to say, I took your land, but I gave you an opportunity also to, and power to change. And also power to work on the land which is left, because not every land is taken, and also not everything is in chain, but it's something that we must find out when you do a critical self assessment. So yeah, while we are there, before we look at the review of the week, because today we are going to see what are the key lessons that we have learned throughout the week, because it has been quite a week full of news and it has been quite a week full of engagement. And we're going to look at to say, when it comes to the discussion throughout the week, what are some of the key things that we must see, or we are seeing that we have learned based on that. But here, let us look at Madagascar, because we indicated that yesterday the president of Madagascar, we were indicating to you that due to pressure from Generation Z, the president was forced to come up with a dialogue, which called around 1,500 people at Presidential Palace in Antananarivo, where he promised. Where Andry Rajoelina promised that, he was going to resign, not this year, but after 1 year, based on the fact that he was pleading for one more year to sort out the issues of, lack of public service delivery, and also lack of basic needs such as water and electricity. And they gave a very brilliant presentation on the ongoing project, that please, and he said he swear to God that please, he must be given one more year before he sort out those things. But looking at the outcome, it also seems like the Generation Z in Madagascar is not buying in, that the protests have continued in Madagascar. Protests have continued. It's becoming a crisis now. It's becoming a crisis because more than 25 people are killed. More than hundreds of people Ijad, where the security force go one-on-one with this youth of Madagascar and demanding public service and also demanding the president to resign. And this quite not a very good news, especially when it comes to Sunday, because as you know...
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like, don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Pena umeta zengimo ondando za Shoprite otse zengimo kokwetera ondando dili pebi mipumbiwa aihe topumga mipumbiwa aihe topumga kasho ke chimba litho suka ondokere yo right brand ondokere nengo ntiligane ndatuna heta tuone osenda omira ngo ino ngo ni ke okay jine the package ntimbu yo njwa rumba kanitha yo real good ke sero mira ngo heta tuno ngo ino osenda omira ngo ino ngo o shika uno futa o shinji shibule po Shoprite price ziri kose kon logo ngo ngo topa nuvo poko Shoprite akuke endera opa mino ready steady cook ko one africa no mapanduro ko Shoprite Namibia.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need, like 2 kg Rite brand white or brown sugar for only 38 Namibian dollars 99 each, and 4 kg Real Good frozen mixed chicken portions for just 189 Namibian dollars 99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 19 October 2025. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready Steady Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Yeah, from ShopRite Namibia, we look at Madagascar, and from Madagascar, then we look at what is the weekly review on the discussion that we had from Monday. What are some of the lessons that we have learned? Because we understand that, you know, some people, they buy or they read the newspaper only on Friday. Some people, they listen only on Friday. But when you miss out, especially what have happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today, I need to give you a short review to say what are the key highlights of the week, what are some of the contexts that we need to look at, and also what have we discussed about. While we are there, also we are looking at Madagascar. We are looking at Madagascar, especially the fact that when it's coming to regional peace, that of who was supposed to lead is the president of Madagascar, because remember around August there he was given the chairperson or chairmanship of SADC, which is a rotational political power in leading that institution, coming from Emmerson Mnangagwa to Andre Rajoelina. It was an expectation of the whole SADC region to make sure that, you know, Africa, especially the southern part of Africa, has peace, has economic growth and stability. But just a few or 1 month after being given that profile or that elevated regional political power of even solving dispute beyond his country, he found himself begging in the corner where the young people of Madagascar, they are pushing for resignation. And remember, just in 2 weeks, there was a collapse in Antananarivo, especially in terms of service due to the ongoing protest, which, in this case, when you look at Antananarivo in Madagascar, you must also be able to realize that currently as we are speaking, the president of Madagascar have dissolved his own government. And has appointed the military general to be the prime minister, and also to promote state security, because the state should not be corrupt. State should always be protected. However, when it comes to governance, you need to realize that it's not only in Africa, but also in other part of the world. It's coming to dissolution of government when it comes to inability to give service delivery. It's not only in that, but also other part of Africa, other part of the world. So let us look at this news, and we go to a short commercial break, then we move forward. But when you look at Madagascar, it's a full deployment of a military force, of security forces, And we see how it's going to end. We see how it's going to end. And let us hope that in terms of democracy, people should not fight so hard to get what they want, because electing a leader was supposed to be a ticket to solve other issues. But to the point of putting somebody in the corner who is the head of state, it's quite showing that how unready we are as Africa to transform and also to unite as a continent. So let us look at
Indian Ocean.
Let's look at this news and move forward.
Approximately 1,000 demonstrators gathered in Madagascar's capital on Thursday after rejecting the president's offer for dialogue and engaging in confrontation with police who deployed tear gas and stun grenades to disperse them in various areas of the city. This violence signifies the third week of the most notable unrest the Indian Ocean island nation has experienced in years. I am here to support this strike, to demand our rights, because here in Madagascar, nothing is going well. Initially, we were demanding water and electricity, but in fact, the entire system in Madagascar is failing. In fact, we are also demanding that human rights, which are also trampled upon, be respected, because there are no rights left. The law enforcement who were supposed to protect us actually kill us when we demand our rights. Initially ignited by water and electricity shortages, the protests quickly broadened to encompass grievances regarding allegations of corruption and nepotism. Whatever we are asking of the president is for him to go. Whatever our idea as Malagasy people, we will win. We have wealth, let us go forward and let us protest. With the president's concession failing to appease protesters, the demand in Madagascar has now escalated from a changed government to a change in leadership itself.
Yeah, that is what's happening. And we are going to look at what are the key highlights of the week. What is that we have looked at, especially throughout the week? And also, what are our takeaways when you are going to this weekend? What are our key takeaways, especially in this regards? And also, where are we standing? Where is the world standing? And also, where should we go? So, let us look at a short commercial break. Then we can analyze issues regarding context, particularly on what we have looked at.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Umthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.6.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipura nengelo wapubwa eva tere uliko ni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fa Nona Monica ko Eagle FM onora isatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And yeah, let us look at the review to say what have you looked at Monday? What have you looked at on Monday? And what are some of the key takeaways? What are some of the key takeaways, especially when it comes to issues of governance? When it's coming to issues of development, and what have we learned? The first thing that we look at, especially when it's coming to this week, we have looked at issues of African jurisprudence. We look at the relationship between our traditional laws and also the laws of Roman Dutch law, the laws that we are using in our constitution, the practice and interpretation of that laws, and what are some of the things that bring us challenges, especially when it's coming to serving the people. Because remember, the existence of the law is not merely for punishment, but for order. And we must be able to understand that when it's coming to the existence of the law, the only thing that differentiate human beings from animals is that their ability to come up with their own laws, follow them, and put to order. And the other aspect that we looked at, particularly when it's coming to African jurisprudence, is that is the law that we are using, what percentage of contribution that Africans have in the laws that they are using, and is the law pro citizens or is serving somebody else? Because in that discussion, we look at issues of, for example, issues of punishment, issues of justice, because we were comparing to say, when you look at African tradition, pure African tradition, the law of kings and chiefs of those days, when you have committed a certain crime, you were supposed to pay. Not only payment in terms of you being jailed, but you have to work and make sure that you work so hard to that extent that you are not going to do it again. However, you also become productive in that aspect to see when you are punished to go and work at the palace, when you are punished and go to work at the palace, you must be able to see that you are also saving those who you know you committed crime into. And we gave a comparison to say many years ago, when you have committed crime within a kingdom, within a chiefdom, when you are punished and you are sent to jail, you are working. And in comparison to this, this our judicial system, our justice system, is in the context of when you have committed a crime, you are sent to jail, and you are eating three meals a day, and also that of who you committed a crime against, let me say, the parent of that kid that you have killed, the parent of that person that you have injured, is still paying tax that is going also to buy food for you. But we must be able to see that it's not always correct, and it's also not always in that context need to be left there. There must be discussion to say, how should we incorporate African philosophy to Western jurisprudential philosophy? Because when we come to that context and we mix the two, we will be able to realize that Africans were not just the receivers of knowledge, but we had the ways, and we were creative enough to look at things from both perspectives. Because when you look at, for example, a country like Namibia, where you have a majority of young generation, young people who, maybe some of them, it could be that some of them, you know, completed school, some of them, they end up in the street. But, due to the situation and environment that these young people are, they start consuming alcohol and drugs. And when you look at the statistic, actually, when you look at the statistics of the current standing drunkest countries on earth, must be able to realize that when it comes to Africa, we are not far. When it's coming to consumption in comparison to our population, you realize that we have a problem that we need to solve. But in that context, this young person end up, for example, committing certain crime, grabbing phones, and do all these kind of things. And imagine this young person with potential and energy sent to jail for 6 years. And by the time that person come out, he's a very different person, or he come out a gang leader. And you're asking yourself, how much of this could have been prevented, particularly when you are incorporating African laws with, with the Roman Dutch law or the modern laws that we are using, and to what extent are issues at the traditional level are respected. And we're also asking a simple question to say, why should a lawyer reference a court case which is 100 years? And Mr. Duma Boko be able also to see there. There's also an article on poetry. And you can also be able also to look at the sale from YouSave there. You save a sale if you want to buy food. To buy food, especially this Friday. You're preparing for Poiki. And many other events, you can be able to do that. But yeah, with these words, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Choveri with Unpacking the Day. And for me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. And Mike, it's your time to take over.